from tranquil, sparkling blue lakes to the bustle of multicultural Toronto and the thunderous roar of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada is home to iconic cities, breathtaking natural wonders, and pristine wilderness. Discover your next adventure in Ontario. Book your Ontario holiday with Canadian Affair at canadianaffair.com/Ontario.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, 6 minutes after 12 is the time, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Don't let me go home today without telling you about the play I saw last night. I don't know that I've ever wanted to recommend a play as highly as the one that I had the pleasure of seeing last night. But before all of that, Mystery Hour is upon us, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. And if you're not familiar with it, it's pretty straightforward. You can only ring in, by the way. Keith's worried that people need reminding because I haven't told you for a couple of years, and a lot of people have now started complaining that I'm not reading their texts. We are, once again, victims of our own popularity. I do not respond to texts, except in the most extraordinary and unprecedented of circumstances in which you almost certainly do not currently find yourself. If you were on the moon and you couldn't ring in but you could text, I might make an exception. Actually, that's silly. A space station would be fine. That would be fine as well. Someone rings in, asks a question, could be you. Someone else rings in and answers it. That's pretty much it. Do you know, I'd like to start a new feature on people who sent me texts accidentally. Because I don't know why. You would have thought, wouldn't you, that if the number was 84850 for a text, or now that you can WhatsApp me, it's still 03456060973. So it's not a normal phone number. It's not like an 0779, whatever normal phone numbers are. So I've never fully understood. I presume it's because you've got me saved in your phone, is it? You've got LBC saved in your phone and you accidentally send it to the wrong destination rather than that you've accidentally punched in the wrong number. But I should start looking out for them because they just make me smile so much. Someone called Sanders has been in touch to ask, hey, how are you doing today? At what time are you free? Well, I'm doing fine, Sanders. 1 o'clock usually, but I've got a podcast today at 2. But thanks for asking. I just read them out and then answer them literally. Could you pick up some bacon? Because I've got to go to the dentist's. Yeah, that's sure. What do you want? Smoked or unsmoked? Back or streaky? I'll see what I can do. And also, good luck at the dentist. What time's your appointment? 2:30. Ba-boom tish. You can win a prize. Not for jokes like that, obviously, but for being my favourite contribution of the day. You can win a Mystery Hour ball game. I literally, this is such a popular radio feature. It has spawned an extremely popular board game, which is great fun and yours for the price of a quality contribution, a top quality contribution, or for the price of about 20 quid if you want to head over to mysteryhour.co.uk. This is a proper competition and therefore governed by proper rules. And therefore, I can refer you to lbc.co.uk where the full terms and conditions are available. Should we crack on? I think that's covered almost everything. Let's just start at the beginning. Dominic is in Bispham in Lancashire. Dominic, question or answer?
It's a question, James. Nice to speak to you.
Likewise. What have you got?
Before I do ask the question, I'll just say I've only been listening to you from May, but I've listened to 150 episodes on your podcast nonstop.
Since May?
Since May just gone.
That's fantastic.
I've only got 50 episodes left, so I'm ploughing through.
No,
like,
there's 500. This is a very pregnant pause. Dominic, are you still there? Oh, he's actually not.
Your
phone cut out. Was that you, Keith, or was that genuinely the gremlins in the system? No, your phone cut out at literally the point of me asking. I'm sure there's 500, isn't there?
Yeah, there is 500. I've only got 50 left to listen to.
So you've watched 450?
Yeah, I've listened to 450 episodes.
I misheard you. I thought you said 150. That's an extraordinary achievement. I'm going to give you a round of applause right now.
Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. If I had gold clocks, I'd give you one. Question or answer, Dominic?
It is a question.
And you can be fairly confident that we haven't asked it before, or at least not in the first 450 episodes of Mystery Owl.
Well, when I stop listening, I'm going to be like Wayne in Basildon, but instead I'm going to be Dom the Mystery Owl listener.
Go on then, what have we got?
So pretty much we have rainy days, we have windy days. When do they become a storm? Because over the winter we went through storms like we were reading through a baby book.
We did. You mean all the different names?
Yeah, yeah. It was just a storm left, right and centre. But, like, we have normal windy, rainy days. But when does that actually become a storm?
What's the threshold for a storm? I mean, it's going to be a measure, isn't it, of how strong the wind is or something like that, I imagine. But I don't know what it would be.
Not possible, because it put me quite out of work, a fair bit.
No, you're what do you mean? Well, put them. Yeah, no, really, it wouldn't, would it? So we'll find out for you. What is the threshold that needs to be crossed for a rainy day or a windy day to become an actual storm? And you see it, you're right, on the weather map, so there must be a way of doing it. Pressure, wind speed? I like that question, Dom. Well done. I can tell that you've done your homework, 450 hours of it, which is to be encouraged. Maureen's been in touch. She says, can you get me some bacon, please, James? No. Maureen, is the answer to that. Get your own. Sam's in Oxford. Sam, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
Why was Napoleon known by his first name, whereas most of the other crazy dictators in history are all known by their second name?
Does Napoleon qualify as a crazy dictator?
Well, you know, I was thinking about another phrase to use, and there were many that came to mind.
What about Queen Victoria?
Sure, but do you know, I mean people who are most known for bad things, shall we say.
Well, depending on where you go in the world, mate.
Of course.
I mean, Napoleon in France, I don't think is considered to be mostly responsible for bad things, is he?
I don't know. I can't say I'm not a Frenchman.
No, but I'm going to go out on a limb. The fact that they came back a couple of years later with another Napoleon and tried to have another empire suggests that he was quite fondly remembered, even though he got himself into a little bit of hot water towards the end of his life. But is it true? I mean, who are the ones that you're thinking of?
Well, I mean, you know, if you go Hitler and your Stalin, that kind of thing, it's always someone's surname. And why is it someone's first name?
Well, two reasons, two answers. I don't think it is. I think that, if you're an emperor, then they go with your Christian name, don't they?
Yeah.
Emperor Nero.
That was my inkling, but I
Emperor
wasn't
Napoleon,
sure.
Queen Victoria. So if you've got a title before your name, other than Führer, then they go with your first name. Czar Nicholas.
Being like a royal.
He was. He achieved royal status by becoming emperor. So I think that is the answer. The first name goes with the honorific. And neither Stalin. Well, I do every day, Sam, metaphorically, but at least today I can do it literally. But you've opened a can of worms, haven't you? Because I presume that French people do look back upon Napoleon with a sort of sense of imperial pride, akin to the way that a lot of British people look back upon our 19th century exploits. But I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is I get a round of applause. Thank you, Sam. Early doors. I'm working it out live on air, which is always a particular pleasure. I don't know what a soft G is, Jake. It's a J, is it? And a G is a hard G, is it? So it's Jev in Hove, not Gev. Hello, Jev.
It's Jed.
It's what?
Jed.
It's Jed. It's not even Jev. It's Jed with a D.
I've been called far worse.
So have I, but they've written Jev and then they've put in brackets soft G on the screen. That's the first time I've ever had pronunciation notes for an incorrectly spelt name.
No problem at all.
Question or answer, Jed?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Why do racehorses have such strange names?
It's not just racehorses, Jed. Not horses in general, but that, in a sense, is the answer to your question. Because horses in general don't have strange names. You could call a horse Dobbin. But what are the odds on you meeting another Dobbin when you were out for a ride?
True.
Did you just provide your own sound effect then? That was extraordinary.
Maybe.
That sounded brilliant. So, because I had a pedigree? I've got a pedigree dog, that's it. And when I was a kid, we had a pedigree cat. And they've got bonkers names. They've got like four names. Can you work out what the answer is yet?
I kind of understand it, but when there's gambling involved and it's such a big organised
lineage,
thing.
You've got to prove the lineage. So you can't have a dog called Spot. The dog has to have a name, I think, recognised by the Kennel Club that is specific to that dog, so that you can actually, you pay a premium for a puppy sired by that dog in the same way that you pay a premium for a foal sired by that stallion or birthed by that mare. So the reason why they have to have increasingly complicated or esoteric names is simply for the exclusivity that they provide, the descriptive exclusivity.
Sounds good to me.
I'm on fire today, mate. Oh no! Apart from getting your name wrong, despite having pronunciation notes on the screen in front of me, that's another round of applause for me. I'll tell you what would be funny. Hey, Jed, come here.
Go on.
Do you know what would be funny, mate?
Go on.
Because you know how this is about horses, yeah?
Yep.
Steward's inquiry on this one.
I think so.
Yeah, 12:15.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
18 minutes after 12 is the time. What's the criteria, the threshold for a storm? When does a windy day or a rainy day or indeed a rainy windy day become a storm? Does it need thunder, perhaps, or lightning? Is it very, very frightening? I've answered the other two questions in my characteristically arrogant fashion, but there is always room for a steward's inquiry, particularly on Jed's question. He'll always be Ged to me. Jed's question about... you're Ged to me. Jed's question about the curious, apparently eccentric names for horses. I'm sure that my answer is correct, but there may, of course, be more to it. There may be other elements as to why they have such complicated and exciting and eccentric sounding names. Beatrice is in York. Beatrice, question or answer?
Hello, it's a question.
Yes.
So, it's dog related, because I love dogs. So you can get whistles for dogs when you're training them.
Yes, I believe they're called dog whistles.
Well, if two people that don't know each other are walking their dogs on a big field and they've got the same whistle from the same shop.
Yeah.
How does the dog know if the person blows the whistle at different ends of wherever they are? How does the dog know which
I don't think it does.
It does, because they go to them.
Yeah, but you can't hear it, so how do you know it's making the same noise?
Because if you blow two different whistles,
yeah.
Or if somebody that's with you blows the whistle.
I don't know the answer, but by channeling Sherlock Holmes, you've got two dog owners with two whistles, both blowing their whistle, and the dogs, and I'm taking your word for this, Beatrice, the dogs mm-hmm. both make their way then to their own owner in response to the mm-hmm. whistle, then there is only one explanation for how that could be, and that is that the whistles are, from the dog's point of view, making different noises. There can't be another race. There literally can't be. Oh, the more confident I get at moments like this, Beatrice, the more humiliated I am 10 or 15 minutes later.
So then how does the person making the whistle make so many different sounds?
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it does. I think the whistles might be ever so slightly differently calibrated.
Oh, okay.
Or you might puff differently and the dog's hearing is so finely tuned that you know, if we both blew into a tube, we would have a different strength of blowing, wouldn't we? You know, so it may be linked to that. But I cannot see how the answer to your question can be anything other than the dogs are hearing different tones.
Okay.
But you don't sound very... Well, you don't sound very happy, Beatrice, frankly, with my answer. You sound perfectly happy existentially, but you're not very happy with... You're not very satisfied, are you, with my answer?
No. I would like to know the answer from a professional.
Oh, thanks very much. What do you think I am? Chop liver? Yes. All right. If I had to put a bet on it, I'd say it's probably the different puff, the personal puff.
Right.
The principle of personal puff, Beatrice. But I'm not going to take a round of applause for that one, partly because you're clearly so unsatisfied with my answer and you want a professional, and partly because I've already got two and nobody likes a greedy guts. Thank you. I shall try and find out for you. Why do two dogs know whose owner is blowing, even though the owners have got the same whistles? 0345 6060 973. Graham's in Woking. Graham, question or answer?
I've got a question.
Carry on.
It's also to do with high pitch, actually.
Oh.
I have tinnitus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's really frustrating. That's
yeah,
right.
I bet it is.
It buzzes my head in.
Yeah.
But if I press a part of my head with different pressure, and then a different part of my head with different pressure, the pitch of the tinnitus will adjust. It will go higher or lower. It will muffle slightly. Never goes away. But I want to know why, if I press my head hard, say around the crown, for example, the pitch will change. But why?
Well, this is an esoteric inquiry, isn't it? By all accounts. I mean, would it just not be the same? I don't know how tinnitus works, but
it's nothing to do with puff.
No, I know it's nothing. Well, it depends, doesn't it, how much you've had? But the but the ringing in your ears, are you not just describing your head as a bell? And if you put some pressure on the bell, then the tone of the chime will change. I think it's probably just that, isn't it?
No. I don't know
what
why.
What do you mean,
not,
no? Don't be so dismissive.
Yeah, I'm a bit like Beatrice. I think it,
I'm,
I'm, not
I'm surrounded by I'm a sorry. Lack of satisfaction
the,
today.
It just, I don't think my head's like a bell in so much as it's not ringing, it's just the high pitch beep
okay.
noise.
No, so, all right. Well, we probably need a tinnitus expert rather than anything else,
yeah.
don't you?
Yeah.
It's got to be linked to your ear. Well, listen, I don't know why I'm trying to answer it, Graham. Let me leave it on the board. I'll see what I can do. I'm sorry for your trouble, though. That must be a right old pain in the proverbials, that.
It is, actually. It does do my head in. And sometimes you don't notice it, and then another day you're like, oh, man.
Yeah,
just
and then as soon as you do,
please.
You can't unnotice it, I imagine,
yeah,
can you?
That's
the really
yeah.
annoying
and
thing.
Then and then when you think it's gone, you start listening for it. It's like, there it is.
And then you say to yourself, why did I listen for it? Why did I? I've done it again. I've done it again. You're on, okay?
Cool. Thanks, James.
You're very welcome. It is 25 minutes after 12. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Why does James, this is a question from Sue, and I don't take questions by text, but this one caught my eye. Why does James tie us all up in knots with political debates when a good old-fashioned anecdote about his River Island underpants gives us all a good laugh? This is a real question. I can't do 3 hours a day of anecdotes about my underpants, Sue. Well, thank you, Keith. It's possible I could. But they'd get progressively worse, as underpants I want to do. Kieran's in Dublin. Kieran, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
So, James, you're on a couple of commercials on the station there at the moment. One, I think, is either for McDonald's or Kentucky, and another one for...
Well, be careful. These pay my... You're not going to be rude, are you? These pay my mortgage.
No, I'm not.
Carry on, then.
So I'm just wondering... Are these people who are on the ads, who are voicing the ads, like, you know your man who does the vintage cash cow ad, does he actually speak like that? Or are these putting voices on for the ads?
I know this. I know this because I've got a newish mate called Gav. He's a big mate of Chris Moyles's. And he does a very, very famous voice in a very, very famous advert. I don't want to say what it is because I haven't cleared it with him. But he categorically doesn't speak like that in real life. You knew that,
okay.
though. You're talking about
no,
a really exaggerated voice.
No, I didn't, but I'll tell you, I could make it actually a stack of money, James. You know your board game at the moment?
Yeah.
You could bring out a second board game saying, what would James say? Because some of the answers you come up with when you're making them up, I'd be thinking to myself, does he actually believe that himself, or is he just making it up?
Well, funnily enough, that is kind of already built into the game, Kieran.
All right.
Because what you have on the card, you have the right answer, you have the wrong answer... And then you have a space into which you can put your own made-up answer. So you could...
But your own made-up answers couldn't be half as good as some of the ones you'd be coming up with.
Yeah, but then you're never... But you don't be... If it's what would James say, you prune, you've got to make it up yourself, haven't you? You're not going to be able to read my mind.
You have to guess what would you have said, because it's probably the most...
Oh, all right, I take that back. You're not a prune. You're not a prune. You mean here's the... Which of these was James's invented answer?
Yes. And well, it's probably the most weirdest one out there.
There is a slight... Well, actually, I think you'll find most of my answers are correct, Kieran. Thank you very much. But there is a slight problem. What I'm trying to do, Kieran, is obviously my plans for world domination involve marketing the game to people who've got no idea who I am, you see. So that wouldn't work at all. That wouldn't work at all. No one plays Monopoly, do they? Because they know the fella that invented it. They look, I want to rule the world, Kieran. I want Mystery Hour to be played in Ulaanbaatar and Timbuktu. I don't just want it to be confined to people who've had the pleasure of tuning into the programme every week.
All right. We've got to say the last thing. Give yourself a handshake, a hand clap.
Careful. I will, actually, because apparently Chris always mentions it on air. And it is Gavin. It is the Coco Pops monkey. So I'll take that as a round of applause. Thank you very much. Well, I'm on a roll today. 3 for 3. It's coming up. Well, 12:28 is the time. At least one more before the news. Simon's in Bournemouth. Simon, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
Love the show.
Thank you.
It's about the horse racing question.
Are we having a student's inquiry on the horse racing question?
We are a little.
Get in! Yeah. Yes! Carry on. I've never been so happy to have a student's inquiry on one of my own answers before. I love it. Carry on.
So when horses are foaled, they're undamed. And yes. And then the owner of the foal gets to choose a name for the horse.
Yes.
And they are allowed 18 characters. They quite often do a fancy play on the something to do with the sire and the mare, in other words, mum and dad. And then they create the name and they check it with the British Horse Racing Authority to check that it doesn't exist, because it can't exist as a name of a live racehorse.
Exactly.
And there are certain things that you can't put into the name, certain rude things, and then things like colt and filly and things like that. And you're not allowed a number, but you can spell out a number. So if you're a golfer, you can have 3 under through 5.
What do you think I got wrong then?
Well, I'm not sure.
No, you've just given more. You've given more detail, haven't you?
I have.
On the answer. But the part of the rationale for not being able to use a name that's already in use isn't just to avoid duplication, but it's also to provide lineage, so you can prove lineage.
It could be.
Well, it has to be. Yes. Otherwise, you call your horse Red Rum, and then you could sell the foals for millions. Couldn't you?
Yeah, it could do.
There we go. I'm going to give you a round of applause, but I don't think your steward's inquiry was successful, because I think my answer stands. But I'm feeling kind. I'm feeling kind, and I've got applause coming out of my ears.
Granny and Grandpa had their hearts set on getting Jess a drum kit for her birthday. And because they bought it on their Barclay card, they were rewarded too. It was music to their ears. Same can't be said for Mum and Dad. What you buy is your business. Rewarding you is ours. Search Barclay card to find out more about our range of rewards cards. Barclay card, make money work for you. 28.9% APR representative variable. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
This may just sound like someone on the train sending boring emails, but it's so much more. It's the sound of Claire landing her biggest sale.
Yes.
And this is the sound of her planning what she'll spend her pay rise on, a fancy dinner or a multi-compartment bin. How will she decide? Claire's living her best phone life on the UK's fastest 5G network. 3. Life needs a big network.
Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, H1 2023, c3.co.uk/bid network.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
Do you know, if I had a pound for everyone who's texted me since 12 o'clock today saying, "Hi, James, I'm texting you from the International Space Station," I'd have at least £17. Chef Alex from London is helping to explain the dog whistle question, but I cannot. See, Keith was right. I tend not to look at the inbox during Mystery Hour, but Keith keeps an eye on things. Very concerned that we need to reiterate the message that we don't accept contributions via text or tweet or WhatsApp, which you can now use to get in touch with the programme, although I'll ignore it between 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Well, I won't necessarily ignore it, but I won't. There's a much lower chance of me noting it than there would be the rest of the week. But the WhatsApp number is the same as the phone number. Jennifer's in Torquay. Jennifer, question or answer?
Hi, James.
Hello,
it's
Jennifer.
A question,
carry
please.
Carry on.
Okay. Is it ever too cold to snow?
Not in Torquay, Jennifer. Not on the English Riviera. Not a chance. I know this, and I think I know this because it's come up before. And I think the answer is technically no, it is never too cold to snow. But it is more likely once you get very cold, like minus, I don't know, 9 or 10 degrees, that there wouldn't be enough moisture in the air to create snow.
Right. Okay.
That's your answer.
Right.
It's not as much fun when I do it, is it?
No.
It's not. It wouldn't have worked, this. It wouldn't have stayed around for the best part of 20 years. I did used to answer loads of questions, and then I just lost the ability to do so. But oddly, today, the planets have aligned, Jennifer, and I find myself qualified to answer an unfeasible number of this week's questions.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind.
Thank you. And there may yet be a steward's inquiry, and you are, of course, still in with a chance of... In fact, the more I answer, the greater your chance of winning a Mystery Hour board game is, because I can hardly award it to myself, can I?
No, well, that'd be good.
We shall see. Thank you. I'm pretty sure that's correct, and I'm pretty sure that it has popped up on the programme before, but as ever, if I'm wrong, you know what to do. Another round of applause for me, please, Keith. How many is that today? Three or four? Three, not four. Did I know? I got the... It's four, blimey. I wonder what the record is. John's in Birmingham. John, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, John.
With regard to the question about the dog whistles and how they know to respond to which whistle.
Yeah, it was a lovely question, actually.
Yeah, Beatrice. It was a good question.
Yeah.
The first thing to say about it is that all dog whistles are manufactured to a very tight tolerance, so they produce a consistent sound.
Yes.
When you were training your dog, you would typically train your dog to respond to specific commands. So it might be two pips on the whistle first.
Oh, so you'd have a style of whistle. So, yeah, okay. But okay.
And you might have three pips for recall, for example. But inevitably, most dog trainers will tell you that your own personality will come into the way in which you blow the whistle.
Yes.
So your dog will start to instinctively know that it is your whistle that they are responding to.
So it is the relationship between the whistle and the blower.
Exactly. The only exception to that might be that if you were really specific about it, you can get a whistle. You might have heard of the silent dog whistle.
Yes.
Which isn't actually truly silent. That's got a little... screw piston on the side that you can actually tune to your dog's ear, so you can tune the frequency to your dog's ear if you wish.
Well, I never. That's your top of the range dog whistle.
Yeah, that is a dog whistle that is a very nice
bit of kit.
Solid silver dog whistle. Yeah, nice bit of kit.
Qualifications?
I am the archivist at the Acme Whistle Company in Birmingham, who have been making the majority of the world's dog whistles since 1870.
You are kidding me.
No.
That is Hudson & Co.
Yeah, that's the one.
I've walked past it and I've thought, I wonder if they're still making whistles.
Yeah, they absolutely are. They make the most of the world's dog whistles, actually. Yeah.
And remind me whereabouts it is in Birmingham.
That is in the Hockley area of Birmingham.
Yeah. And you're not based at the factory, obviously.
I work sort of...
So what have I walked past? What have I walked past?
You've walked past a factory, a very old... Well, it's not Victorian. It's built in 1909, that factory.
Yeah, and it looks like it.
Yeah, and behind those walls, you'll see Acme Thunder has been made, the sports whistles, and the millions of dog whistles being made.
Wow, how many dog whistles? I mean, that's not your only job, is it, dog whistle archivist?
It's not my only job, actually, no, but that's a role that I fulfil for them, yeah.
That's got to be at Rayleigh Hotel, hasn't it? I mean, Acme don't just make dog whistles, do they?
No, they don't just make dog whistles. They make sports whistles. You'll have heard of the Acme Thunder, probably.
For referees. And you're the archivist for the whole of the whistle world?
Yes, yeah.
Well, how'd you get into that?
Like most things in life, I suppose, James, a bit of serendipity.
And how long have you been doing it?
It's coming up to, I think, 4 years. I studied history at university and then... got into it that way. It's one of those things. Yeah.
When do you think you're going to call it full time? I'm so sorry. Do you want a round of applause?
Oh, I'd love a round of applause.
You can whistle for it. Boom, boom. I think you get more than a round of applause. What an extraordinary. Were you writing something, or are you just keeping records for the permanently? Or that's a lovely, lovely job. That's a fascinating one.
There's whistles dating back to the 1870s that have been cataloged and archived all the way through to the present day. And then there's also loads of sort of documentary work that we're doing to catalogue the company's history, I suppose.
Absolutely. We're going to have FA Cup finals coming out of our ears, are we, and stuff like that?
There's all sorts. And there's a whistle from 1966, there's a whistle from 1970, the Mexico World Cup.
Is there a museum in the factory? Is there a little museum in the factory or not?
There isn't a museum as such, but there are regular tours that are held there.
Oh, hello. Sign me up for one of those. Oh, well, do you hold them? Do you hold the tours?
The tours are held by the managing director, is a guy called Simon Topman, who is very good at very knowledgeable about the company's history.
This is one of my favourites ever. Have one of these for me.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it,
unbelievable. Thank you.
They will come.
I will come. Absolutely first class, and lots of you sharing my favorite. This is my favorite. So this is absolutely priceless. What a great LBC community we have built together. You're not wrong. 12:41 is the time. Richard is in Addleston. Richard, question or answer?
It's a question, James.
Carry on.
Okay. So I take my kids swimming most weekends.
Yes.
I wear glasses. I've got terrible eyesight, so I take them off when we go in the pool. Now, It's blurry when I've got my head above water, but also underwater, which I think is quite standard.
Yeah.
I said to my daughter the other day, take your goggles off, because she's an avid wearer of them. I said, because in an emergency, you wouldn't have them with you, so practice without them like I used to do at school.
Top daddy.
Yeah. So I put her glasses on just out of interest, goggles, sorry. Yeah. And I went underwater, and I could see everything, you know, extremely clearly, which I found quite baffling. I could see all the way to the end of the pool, which is about 40 metres. You know, all the tiles, all the grouting, everything, legs, whatever. I could just see clear as a bell as if I'd put my glasses on. And I was baffled because these are just sort of Perspex goggles that you buy in the foyer with no prescription in them at all. And yet I could see as well as I can normally with my glasses. I just wondered what was at play, you know.
I know this.
Something scientific, obviously.
I know this. No, it's not scientific, actually.
Oh, okay. Go on, then.
It's because the rain has gone.
Right.
It's because the rain has gone.
The rain has gone. Yeah. Oh, I can see. Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think that I was on a bit of a roll with the whistle bass gags. And when you said, why can I see clearly now? I couldn't. It's because the rain has gone. I mean, it's obviously not because the rain has gone, is it? And it is actually a really interesting question. And we will hopefully find out an answer for you.
Brilliant.
But there's not a lot you can do with that knowledge, though, is there? Because it doesn't work once you come out of the pool.
No, it doesn't. That's what baffles me.
Yeah, it baffles me now as well.
Putting on essentially toy goggles.
Something weird happening.
And suddenly having something like my improves my eyesight by about 1,000%.
That's right. I see it. Absolutely extraordinary.
Underwater.
Yeah. All right. Why do Richard's eyes start working better when he's wearing non-prescription goggles underwater, but in no other circumstances is a similar improvement affected? So we've got the goggles, beautiful answer to the whistle question. We've got the tinnitus. Graham wants to know why is the tones of his tinnitus change according to him applying pressure to his head. I kind of did the snow, done the horses' names. Done the Napoleon, and when does a windy day or a rainy day become an actual storm? I think we got that's pretty much it. Have I missed anything off? This is probably not a good idea for me to answer these questions myself, is it? Because it kind of changes the whole dynamic of the show, and we need to get more questions up there. Not a lot of love out there for my jokes. Niall says you are being truly pathetic today. Well. But then someone else texted, you're on brilliant form today. I know which one I agree with. Leshmi's in Cardiff. Leshmi, question or answer?
Answer to your tinnitus one.
Carry on.
So the reason you get tinnitus is because your auditory nerve in the inner ear is irritated for whatever reason, and it can produce sounds. If you press different sort of areas of the head, so like, you know, around ears, which is soft tissue.
Yes.
You might change or irritate the, the conduction will go through to the auditory nerve and maybe irritate it in a different way. So you might change the tone of it. Whereas if you put your hand on your forehead, it's mostly bone, that probably wouldn't kind of change the tone of the tinnitus. So it depends how well the conduction, wherever you've pressed, how much it further presses on the auditory nerve and therefore the tone.
Okay. I think that follows. Qualifications?
I'm a GP.
Well, has it got anything to do with the liquid in the inner ear?
Yeah, so once you put... Yeah, kind of. So once you go past the tympanic membrane, it's all liquid. Oh. And you've got, like, your little bones and you've got your semicircular canals and then you've got your auditory thing. So it does get conducted easily, more easily, behind the tympanic membrane than in front of it, because obviously it's air versus fluid. So it depends sort of how hard you press and how much the conduction sort of goes to the auditory nerve and annoys the auditory nerve.
That's a pretty comprehensive answer. Let me have a round of applause on me.
Thank you.
Cross that one off as well. We've got time for a couple more questions as well. 12:45 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour will continue after this.
From tranquil, sparkling blue lakes to the bustle of multicultural Toronto and the thunderous roar of Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada is home to iconic cities, breathtaking natural wonders, and pristine wilderness. Discover your next adventure in Ontario. Book your Ontario holiday with My Canada Trips at mycanadatrips.co.uk/Ontario.
Do you like apple blossom in spring? Then plant more trees. Love a romantic woodland walk? Plant more trees. Enjoy not having to fish your worldly possessions out of 2 feet of flood water? Plant more trees. There's no life without trees. They can protect us from floods, clean our air, and help slow down climate change. Help the Woodland Trust plant more trees. Help protect us all. Search Woodland Trust to find out how.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It is 12:49. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. So two questions that still need answers include the threshold for a storm. When does rubbish weather, when does bad weather actually become a storm? I'd have thought that was quite easy to answer. 0345 6060 973. And when Richard was swimming the other day, he has very bad eyesight, and yet when he borrowed his daughter's goggles and went underwater, he could see clearly. I thought that was a brilliant joke. I thought that was one of the best jokes ever, because it's all about the moment, isn't it? It's all about spotting. But the problem was, I spotted the opportunity for the joke quite early, which means when I did the joke, it probably didn't have that little ring of authenticity that it would have had if I'd done it in the spur of the moment. But anyway, he could see clearly now. The rain has gone, and because he had the goggles on, he could see clearly now with goggles on. Could see clearly now. He could see. And why? Why would goggles underwater have the same effect upon his eyesight as prescription spectacle lenses? Polly's in Camberley. Polly, question or answer?
Question, James.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wondered, how would our tides change if we had like two or three moons like some other planets?
What?
Of different. You know the moon affects the tides, it sucks it in and out.
Well, what sort if we of. Had... I mean, sort of. I don't.
If we had two or three moons at different distances and sizes? What would happen to the tides then?
Have you been at the Wacky Backy, Polly?
No, I'm serious.
Are you sure? That's the kind of question that my student friends used to ask at about 3 o'clock in the morning when they just got back from a petrol station with 8 pot noodles and a packet of Minstrels.
I've just always wondered, because the moon causes a bulge, doesn't it?
What if we had like three moons, man?
Yeah, a serious question.
Is it?
Yes, because it would. The moon causes a bulge and it brings the tides in and out. What if you had?
What if you had multiple moons? Yeah. Multiple moons.
What happened to the tides? Yeah.
Okay, you're on. Yeah. I mean, we may have misunderstood the nature of moons and tides and the relationship, but I don't know what would happen if we had multiple moons. What would happen to the tides if we had multiple moons?
Yeah.
You're on.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Polly. There you go. Moons. Moons and tides, and tides and moons, and moons and tides. And Terry in Chester, question or answer, Terry?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
A big fan of yours. Pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
It's an answer to the question is, do voiceovers talk like voiceovers all of the time?
And you are a voiceover. I can already tell that you are a professional voiceover. Why? That is so interesting, isn't it? Anyway, so give us your answer first.
The answer is, we'd like to think not.
Yes.
But we are kind of vocal chameleons in many situations. So if we're just talking to family and friends, then probably not really, no.
But you have a very rich voice, don't you? You must be aware of that, because presumably at some point somewhere someone said, have you ever thought of getting into voiceover work? Or
yeah, that's very true. And, you know, the natural tones help, and 20 years in a dark sound proof studio also help. So, you know, I didn't start off necessarily like this, but over time it's naturally
like an actor. Like an actor, your voice, the richness develops like a fine wine.
Very much.
And do you do other voices, or do you always just do your own voice?
No, quite a lot of different ones, actually. And, you know, increasingly these days, regional accents are coming back into the fore. Once upon a time, it wasn't really seen as being a viable career unless you were a BBC.
So you put a list of accents you can do you, on your CV?
Rather than accents, because I think natural, it always wins out over performed, acted out accents. And I think, you know, natural talent happens. But in terms of range and tone and that sort of thing.
Yeah?
You know,
well, it's acting, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
What are you proudest of?
Just recently done the new advertisements for Adele's tour in Munich. So, but that required a different kind of timbre, really. That was slower, more deliberate, and, you know, encouraging reaction, but without necessarily, you know, Adele speaks for herself or sings for herself. It doesn't need necessarily me to be all.
You don't need to be attention grabbing, do you? On that? Yeah, no, I like that. Do you know Gavin, who does the Coco Pops monkey?
There are quite a few of us in a small social circle.
You do know each other.
We'll know of each other, certainly.
Well, because I was going to introduce you, because Gavin's on the other line. Gavin, how are you, mate?
Hey, James, I'm good. I was on hold when he called through.
Isn't that nice? Look at this. It's like a little get-together for voiceover experts and voiceover superstars. Is there a lot of competition, Gavin? Do you sort of put pins of Terry in a little wax effigy at night because you really wanted that Adele gig?
No, there's so many of us. It's not. I mean, the scary thing is, for a conversation the other time, is everyone's against AI at the moment because a lot of voiceovers are being replaced by AI.
Oh.
So that's the biggest enemy at the moment, really, rather than ourselves.
But that's, well, I suppose that is a worry because it just gets better and better, doesn't it, with the evolution? Because I would think they're never going to be able to match the authenticity or the richness or the reality of your voices. But I suppose we're all a little bit worried about where AI might go in the future. What are you proudest of, Gavin? Terry very cleverly just plugged his latest work. He kind of ducked the question a bit there. But
obviously, like you've said about the Coco Pops, or I could say about, you know, introducing programmes on BBC Three or the Olympics.
That's
or
great,
a lot of the live work I've done. But obviously, because we're LBC Global, it's obviously the voice of Zing Plants. So that, of course, it's the big one.
A career highlight by anybody's standards. I like this. I'll give you both a round of applause. I'll give you one each. All right, lads.
Yay!
Is that all right, Terry? All right, take care.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, lads. 12:55 is the time. John is in Plymouth. John, question or answer?
James, it's an answer.
Carry on.
To do with the storms and storm naming. So the UK's National Weather Service, the Met Office, don't actually use thresholds. It's a risk matrix based on the likelihood and impact.
Oh, yes.
So what would constitute, say, you've got a deep area of low pressure over Cornwall or the Welsh Mountains over the winter wouldn't necessarily warrant a warning, but the same system at the same time of the year over London, over a populated area, could constitute a warning. So it's kind of, and then you've got the National Severe Weather Warning Service, which is based on yellow, amber or red weather warnings. The yellow one is to be aware. The amber is to be
prepared. So there's quite a few variables. Action. There's quite a few variables that are being crunched to get down to the question of whether you warn about the likelihood of it.
Yeah, and the chief forecaster will meet with civil contingency advisors around the country and discuss, you know, local impacts and things like that. So it's a lot more complex than just thresholds.
You've got a lovely voice as well, actually, just by coincidence. What are your qualifications?
Well, I've worked on the Met Office weather desk for 9 years. So,
and does that involve doing broadcasts?
It doesn't, I'm afraid, no.
No, but, well, you could do. You should tell the boss. Tell him James O'Brien said you've got a perfect voice for radio. That's got to count for something. I presumably don't want to. But I don't know if you could ever replace Gavin as the Coco Pops monkey. I don't know where your career ambitions lie, but I think he's got that one sewn up for the foreseeable future. Round of applause for John, please. Lovely stuff. And I think this would be the last one, will it, if it's an answer? Simba's in Brighton. Simba, question or answer?
Hello, mate. I've got an answer for you.
Nice one. You've got a minute. Make it sing.
Okay, right. Firstly, I love you and what you do, so big ups and respect for everything. Yes, keep going. Secondly, you're on fire with your jokes, so don't let anyone put you down.
But I did say hurry up, I've only got a minute, and we've now had 40 seconds.
So the reason that he can see better with his goggles with the goggles underwater is twofold. One is basically water interacts with the cornea, so it blurs your vision. So having the airspace in the goggle gives your cornea the ability to focus clearly.
Right.
And secondly, water itself has a different refractive index to plastic or anything. So he's probably got a slight refractive error, which coincides with the index of the water, which allows him to see much clearer.
Sounds like a good answer. Qualifications?
I've been a domiciliary optometrist for 10 years.
That'll do nicely. Round of applause for Sim, please.
Yay.
Thank you to Gary for reminding me to do my hook and tease, which was King Lear at the Almeida Theatre in Islington. Is one of the finest productions I've ever seen, of any play ever. But I've also seen probably a dozen King Lears over the years, and this is just absolutely extraordinary. If you even just get the... I know it's London, I'm sorry, but it's just so beautiful. So absolutely extraordinary that I really cannot recommend it highly enough. Do we give the... Well, game to the whistle archivist, or do we usually decide that a Ray Liotta is reward enough? It is up to me, isn't it? Let's give it to him. Was it Gav? John in Birmingham. John in Birmingham, because that was such a perfect moment, I think, for Mystery Hour fans. That's it from me for another day. If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on Catch Up on Global Player, which is, of course, the official LBC app where you can pause and rewind live radio. You can listen back to all my jokes again and again and again. They probably get funnier like a fine cheese. Download it now for free from your app store or head to globalplayer.com.
Sal loves camouflage print. She's decorated her entire house with
it.
Hey,
here, boy.
Even her pug Billy has a camo coat.
Billy!
After she finished her renovation, she transferred her outstanding balances onto her Barclay card, interest-free. Now she's found a way to pay down her debt. Sadly, she can't find anything else. What you buy is your business. How can you pay less interest is ours. Search Barclay card balance transfers to find out more. Make money work for you. 28.9% APR variable, subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.